This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Davis bluffed the three. Now Davis, the screener, has had the roller and the finisher. Nice pass and a pretty easy finish. Davis.
Mavs TV with the call on the Mavericks, a 120-101 victory over Brooklyn. They're just screwing it all up. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, back from the ballpark. He was at the Globe last night.
Yes.
For a little Rangers exhibition. Peyton and Aiden alongside, we will have plenty of that. I want to know if Bobby tried any of the new food that's out there. I saw Sandler's video that he posted on all the food items. He told his wife about baseball, about this game with a bat and a ball and a stick and pillows.
Mm-hmm.
And they run around and they touch all the pillows.
That's exactly it.
That's exactly what it is.
It's the game of pillow touching.
Yes,
it
is.
We called it.
So we'll get into that. Also, Stars do get a victory at home against Minnesota. We'll talk about that in a second. But we start with the Mavericks screwing up, and I do mean screwing up, the whole plan, the whole tank. They bring Anthony Davis back for some godforsaken reason, and they go and they beat Brooklyn. And that's that Nets. You know, Brooklyn stinks. You know, they're going to be a 50-loss team. 55, maybe. But still.
Yeah, still. Where is your apology? I want to know where your apology is.
My apology?
Yep.
For what?
I need your apology for the fact that last night in the Lakers game, the Magic Lakers game, Luka Doncic was -9 in plus minus. Anthony Davis was +12.
Oh.
That is a 21-point difference.
Oh, baby.
Chop.
He's that much better. He's 21 points better than Luka. I bet you Vegas would agree, and they would add the 21 points to the Mavericks if they were to play. On
yeah.
the betting line.
I mean, you have to. That would be the way that they would have to do it because he makes that big a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've struggled so much.
Yeah, it really is.
And that now they've just cleared the path
to
be able to go on their fantastic run here. This is messing up the plan, ultimately, though. That's what this is doing.
27 minutes, 12 points for AD, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. But you're right. He did have he was +12 with a plus minus. And let's see, the Mavericks on Team Tank. They're still in 12th.
Yeah,
they did not move.
The Suns won late last night on a Booker buzzer beater.
So they still have a 6.2% chance to get the top four and a 1.3% chance to get number one overall.
Which, by the way, in the last six
not
weeks,
zero.
In the last 6 weeks, how many times have you hit this draft simulator on Tankathon?
Every day.
I think I've hit it 200 times. I have not once gotten Dallas to be the number one.
No, I've gotten up. I just got them to 3 on the third try.
I've gotten them up to the top 4 every now and then, but I've never gotten them to number 1. So even in this fake game, it ends up kind of screwing the Mavs a little bit.
Yep.
But the Mavs are screwing themselves here a little bit. Now, look, I understand you don't want to. I do get the idea whenever people say you can't ask professional athletes to just pack it in. You can't just tell them, pack it in, give up, quit. But again, it's the idea of just. You can naturally let it happen like you did a couple years ago when you sat Kyrie and you sat Luka. Don't let AD come back. Let him get healthy. Let him do whatever he's going to do. Figure things out from there. But this is your last chance at a significant draft pick, potentially. And not even significant. You're not going to get a significant one.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you get the top 4.
Probably not, though.
Oh, number 1.
Number 1. Look at that.
That was like 20 tries.
I had jinxed it, and then there we are. So Cooper Flagg. All right, you're getting Cooper Flagg right there. But This is what they've set themselves up for, of just being right in the middle. I still, every day I laugh more and more thinking about the Mavericks trying to push this idea that this is a win now move. That anything about this was a win now move, when in reality all you did was suck just enough to drop to like the back end of the play-in or just outside of it and probably pick 10 to 12.
Yeah, and look, I mean, 10 to 12, you can get a Derek Lively, but Derek Lively's a role player. Not getting a superstar generally. Now, you might have somebody that misses, right? You get a team that just...
Giannis went 15. Yeah, Nash went 15. Yeah. You get a once in a blue moon.
Yep.
I want to say initially, it was something like outside of Giannis and Nash, I think there was only one MVP over the course of like 50 years that wasn't a lottery pick. So, I mean, it's definitely... It's a big part of that. 214 says there were fire Nico chants last night at the Stars game, which is good. But, I mean, this is something where they've set themselves up now to be just good enough to cross that threshold and screw themselves. It's the same argument we had 2 years ago and the one that they came down on the right side of that we didn't anticipate they would, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, it doesn't seem like they have the same sense. 5-6-1, Mavs have become Nico's vanity project, 100%. 100%.
So I'm looking at the some of the mock drafts, and they have the Mavs at, you know, obviously where you're picking. You could be taking Con Knepel from Carol from Duke.
You pronounce the K?
They do. I don't care for that.
I probably would too. That's my name.
But I don't like pronouncing the N. Like it's.
I'm glad.
My roommate, he was K-N-I-Z-N-E-R. It's just like Andrew Kisner for the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
He's his cousin. It's Kisner. There's no N. You don't pronounce the N.
Yeah, see, that seems like an odd decision there.
Now, this one with Knepel, I think it's either should be Knepel or Keppel.
You don't want Knepel. You'd rather.
You can't have Knepel.
No.
But you have Keppel.
Yeah, sure.
And that's I don't like the Knepel. I don't care for that. Don't put two. This isn't Russia. Is this Russia? You can't put a K and an N.
No, it's not Russia, because I know it for one thing. There's no way that Nico Harrison would have Russians on his basketball team.
But, I mean, so. You know, they haven't passed on Liam McNeely at UConn and Derek Queen and Solo Ball and JT Toppin. So
is this, do you think this instance of AD being available last night, is this just about, hey, we have to have bodies ready? We got to have people out there to put on the floor? Or is that as simple as Nico's going to dig in and say, you're going to see what I wanted and you're going to see it now. And I don't care if we're playing for anything. You're going to see it, damn it.
Yeah. I mean, how much of it is on him? I mean, he might just be insisting that he gets back in the lineup.
Jason Kidd said last night, quote on Anthony Davis, he gets paid to play. I know you think this is a joke, but his character of working to get back with 12 games left just shows how much he cares about what he wants to do, and that's to help this team win. But Jason Kidd looks worn out talking up there. How likely is it, do you think, that Kidd just walks away after this year?
I don't think so.
Do you think there's any shot? You think he wants to sit around for this? I wouldn't. If he truly had nothing to do with the Luka, that'll tell me if he had anything to do with Luka going.
Well, I don't even know about that. I mean, look, guys don't walk. I mean, do people just walk away from millions of dollars a year?
Dude, that's been a brutal job this year.
Oh, it has. It has. But, you know, the summer's coming, and you can step away from it for a little bit, and then you hope that people forget about it by the start of next year.
Doesn't he have it? Like, I mean, when you're Jason Kidd, don't you feel like you've got enough money?
Yeah, I think you
his net worth is $85
million. He's also, like, he's been fired from a couple of jobs or...
But he had a whole NBA career.
Moved away from a couple of jobs. He keeps coaching. You know, some guys just basketball lifers.
He does love it, but I mean, that's exactly, if you're somebody who loves it, do you want to be around this? What this is right now?
I don't think so. I don't think you would, but unless he thinks, all right, you know what? Look, if we get Kyrie back and Anthony Davis, we do have a good team. They do. Like if Kai and AD are healthy, that's a good squad.
214, Mavs are in 11th, not 12th. You said that 2 days in a row. 11th place in the West. They're 12th in the lottery. That's where they are in the lottery, 214. That's what we're talking about there. We are not talking about where they stand in the conference. We're talking about where their position is in the lottery right now. But I don't know. To me, it's just if Jason Kidd had legitimately nothing to do with the move, why would you want to stay for this? I was about to say really bad.
If you had nothing to do with the move?
Yeah, if you had nothing to do with
it. For the same reason that he said about AD wanting to play. Like, it's you know, he's a competitor. It's his job. He gets paid to play. He gets paid to coach.
But he didn't get paid to oversee a self-destruction.
No. I mean, he may not re-up. I have to go look at when his deal's up. You know, but he may finish out his contract. I mean, you know, guys, he may say the same thing. I'm getting paid to coach. I'm a coach.
Yeah, but this is as flustered as he's been mm-hmm. at the podium this year. And we've seen some, because what is he? He's Mr.
Should tell you that he had nothing to do with the move.
What's the Peyton drop? No one's dying. You know, all the time. We hear no one's dying. He's Mr. on the level, keep it cool. That now we've seen him blow off press conferences. We've seen him get snippy with people. Last night, he said, I know you think this is a joke, but, you know, this is important to him.
Yeah, well, we tried everything.
That's like, that's a guy who feels like he's worn out by this right now, just like everybody else is, and worn out by Nico Harrison just digging in those heels of his and just saying, nope, I was right. I'm going to be right, and all y'all be damned.
It is Sean and RJ 105 through the fans of the Mavericks get a 19-point victory on the road. Meanwhile, the Dallas Stars getting a goal from Matt Duchene on Victory Plus.
Take it away from Bogosian. Duchene shot. Score! Ben was cutting in front. Duchene, the screenshot, and Dallas doubles up immediately.
So, Victory Plus with the call. Stars 3-0 over the Wild. The power play was fairly nice to him last night. What does the money puck say?
Money puck says 53.5% for Dallas Stars. So they correctly predicted it. Here's the question I have this morning as we're getting ready. I was talking about this with Peyton earlier. And you've spent, how long have you been around Sean now? 14 years? Something like that?
Yeah, it'll be 14 years next month.
Okay. How mad would he get if one of these mornings around this time we call and wake him up to give him on the air the money puck numbers?
Oh, man.
Would he forget about it by next week?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't forget about it.
Would he be not angry?
It would be our 6 o'clock segment. His first day back would be, why did you wake me up?
Nah. Oh, he was up. He was texting a minute ago. Right?
So we can't call him and give him money puck.
No, the problem is that you call him. First of all,
you guys heard that.
Silent.
RJ Choppy said that it's okay to call Sean.
Look, you call him. Go ahead. I don't care. His phone's always on silent. And so he may not even hear it. He may not even hear it or may not even see it. But also, do you really want to wake up the baby? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's
because it is paternity leave.
That's what he was.
So he is spending time. He's skin to skin. He's going skin to skin with his baby.
Yeah, I see. You're winking just like I am there, Chop. No, I can't wake.
My eyes are watering too much right now.
So that's it, guys. He walked in here this morning just looking like someone took a giant dump in his face and gave him pink eye. He has both eyes lit up like you haven't seen before. I mean, his eyes are red. Yeah, and he can't stop rubbing them.
It's like the area around the eye, because I've just like wiped them nonstop for the last, I don't know, 18 hours. Like, it's just been like just awful. It's, I don't know what it is. And I've been taking allergy pills too. And allergy eye drops.
Do you have the, I was going to say, you do have the eye drops and they haven't been working?
No.
Are they like medicated ones or are they just the regular old?
Yeah, I got them at the store at Costco or whatever.
But like there's some that are like they have medicine in them and others are just like lubricant basically.
Oh no, this has some med. It's like a 0.01%. Medicine or whatever the small dose is. I have no idea, but it's brutal. I am miserable.
Is this because you mowed the yard the other day and you were talking too early saying you didn't get MOVID?
I wouldn't think so, but it may. Maybe.
What's the incubation period on MOVID?
That's a good question. It was the day next day last year. It was like I mowed the lawn and I was like, ooh, I had no voice within 24 hours.
So we would say you need 3 days off now to be able to recover from that. They say 3 days.
3 days to flatten the curve.
No itchy eyes.
No itchy eyes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Maintain 6 feet.
Right. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. It is pro day season. Is there a quarterback headed to the Cowboys? The Cowboys going to pass on the top wide receiver in the draft? That's next on 105.3 The Fan. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Bobby Belt, but we are the official home of the Texas Rangers. It's a baseball team.
I've heard about it.
And we are going to have opening day coming up on Thursday at the Globe, KNC there at 10 a.m. First pitch, what, 3:05?
3:05.
So G-Bag won't have a show. And then, that's the start of the grind. 161 more after that.
That is the start of the grind. It's the start of the off season for G-Bag. But it's the start of the grind for the Texas Rangers. Yeah, it'll be 3:05 first pitch. We got a 1 hour pregame leading up to it. KNC will be out there from 10 to 2 with lots of interviews. If you're going to be out at the ballpark and running around the area out there, you're going to want to stop by and say hi to the KNC Masterpiece. And then we will be out at Allen Fire Station number one.
Keller. Please.
Allen.
Yeah. Don't go to the Allen. I mean, you can go. I'm sure the Allen Fire Station is wonderful. I think we've been there.
We've been there. Don't go to that one.
Yeah, go to the Keller one.
Keller. You're going to go to the Keller Fire Station number one on Friday. We're going to have Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour aprons as well as free Whataburger breakfast while supplies last. And Eric Chiafalo will be joining us. And he would not be joining us if it was an Allen.
Probably not. He's like, probably not.
Not going to make that drive. But we'll be out in Keller. It'll be a good time.
I think he came to Glen Heights.
He did, and that was a drive.
It was a drive
for him. That was look, was see, I got the Glen Heights on today, actually.
Oh, look at that!
I'm repping Glen Heights. They were they treated us well out there, and I'm sure Keller will as well. So you guys come out and say hey on Friday. Sean Sharif is out this week, so he'll not be out there on there. Shador Sanders, RJ Choppy, you familiar with him? You ever heard of him?
I am a very familiar with him.
He's starting to clap back a little bit.
Good.
Do you think he needs to push back against some of the narrative? Isn't there a little bit of just let my game do the talking or let these interviews do the talking? Does he need to worry about it?
There comes a point where it's just like, dude, just it's too much.
And he's probably feels like he's reached that point. After the scouting combine, this is from Pro Football Talk, anonymous evaluators started characterizing Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders as arrogant and brash. Last Thursday's Colorado Pro Day workout, Shador Sanders was asked by Bucky Brooks of NFL Network about the pre-draft chatter. This is what he said. He said, well, we always understood to block out the noise, even from Jackson State and Colorado. It's a lot of critics. It's a lot of hate. But we know what to do. We know how to handle that in every way, so we remain happy. So Shador kind of just saying, not worried about it, letting it roll off my back. I'm going to be good to go. Deion's not taking the same approach. Deion Sanders had told Mike Freeman of USA Today that he sees all these observations as lies, and he's starting to threaten now to say, I'm going to name the person that I believe is spreading the misinformation. He was offered a chance to say, okay, would you like to get into that now? Would you like to tell us about that? And Deion declined. Didn't do so. But Deion is now threatening for the, okay, I think this is one team spreading bad information or one person spreading bad information, and I'm about ready to just out who this person is if they're going to keep doing this with Shador.
So let me ask you this. Let's say the team with the 8th pick in the draft. Now, that wouldn't be Carolina. Let's say the Jets are at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Or New Orleans is at 9. And they're the ones that are doing all this. And they're doing this so Shador's stock drops and they can get him. A, how common is that? B, do you have a problem with that approach? Like,
so,
it's probably unethical.
I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, the game's the game and teams are going to play it however they can. I don't think that that's very common. Because I think what's more common is that tactic from the side of the agent or the player, that they will do things to ensure that they get past teams so that they can get to somebody else. But I don't think generally a single team can't spread necessarily, hey, here's all these bad things about Shador, if the teams ahead of them have also talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they already know, no, he's good. Like, we didn't have those issues with him. These are all going to be things that have trickled out because it's not one person. I can tell you that. Deion's wrong about that. It is not one person spreading this because I heard it from like three different places in NFL circles.
Is it one team that started it and everybody else is kind of just...
Like one team said it and then everybody else is like, yeah, he was difficult with us too.
Yeah.
That's possible. But even if that's the case, he still was difficult. Like they still found him to be tough to deal with.
Right.
So look, I think the best thing for Shador Sanders at this point is just to worry about checking the boxes the rest of the way. Make sure that he's performing where he needs to perform, not skipping Big 12 Pro Day workout, not skipping this or that, like making sure that he's
Pro Day?
Has he what?
Has he done his own Pro Day?
He has not done the Colorado one yet. He's done Big 12 Pro Day. He did the, he showed up at the Combine. He showed up at Shrine Bowl. None of those three he worked out at.
Okay, so he went to the Big 12. What did he do at the Big 12 Pro Day?
Talk to people, talk to teams.
Okay.
But still,
that's more than Caleb did, right?
Yes, in the sense that Caleb didn't visit with teams. He didn't go on trips with teams. Shador's going to go on trips with teams. Like, he'll go visit a... If Seattle wants to do an interview with him, it sounds like he'll go visit Seattle. But this is something where he's not thrown in front of anybody because he says, my tape's my tape. You guys watch that. And I think that that's something where teams would like to see him work out a little bit and just be there during the draft process. That matters to them that you're showing up and competing and taking part and trying to put something on your resume.
Is this going to be the norm where you just where top quarterbacks just don't throw? And like, what is the benefit of that?
Could be. I mean, you've seen a lot of these things change in recent years. You'll see guys who just don't throw, or so far we've seen a lot of different changes. Shador is not participating really at all in any of the process other than interviews. Last year, Jaden Daniels wouldn't even allow himself to get weighed at the combine. Like most guys who show up at the combine, they'll still get height, weight, and that's it, even if they're not going to test. Jaden Daniels wouldn't even weigh in last year because there was a question about his weight. He said, nope, do it at pro day. Not going to do it here. Caleb Williams last year, like you mentioned, completely changed the thing where he goes, I'm not going to be tested at the combine for medicals, and I'm only going to visit the teams that might draft me. That's it.
Did Jaden weigh in at the pro day?
Yes.
So what's the point of doing it at the pro day and at the combine? Same scale.
I think the idea is, if he's not where he wants to be weight-wise yet, he has a chance to put it up.
Oh, I get you.
Whereas, like, you don't want somebody to go, even if he puts that number up at pro day, you don't want somebody to go, yeah, but he was down here. What happened? Like, why wasn't he ready for combine? So instead, he just doesn't put a number out there at all. And so, but it's a different way to go about it. It's a different way to attack it. I do think there's an argument to be made or a case to be made that Cam Ward's, you know, more involved process where he's actually putting himself out there a little bit more than Shador is.
Yeah.
I think that has mattered a little bit in terms of discrepancy. And he did have his pro day yesterday, Cam Ward at the University of Miami, and was really impressive. Had a lot of really big time throws and had a bit of a viral moment where he was seen kind of talking to the Titans at one point, speaking to their general manager. And they were asked, the NFL Network asked him, what were you saying to him? And he said, I told him I'm solidifying it today. They finally got to see me throw in person. That should be all they need to see. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy whatever team I go to. I'm just trying to play football. But we're throwing up some of it on the fan cam right now. You can see him throwing. But he looked good yesterday, and he's involved in the process, and he's giving teams a better impression in the interview process than Shador Sanders is. All those things matter in the margins in terms of, okay, who do we want to take? And so I think that's why you saw so much of Cam Ward starting to take a stronger position mm-hmm. as the potential number one pick over Shador Sanders when it was a lot closer at one point, where it felt like, okay, those two guys are kind of neck and neck. It's not nearly that anymore. But on the topic of number one pick, did you happen to see the Abdul Carter tweet yesterday?
No.
Tell me if you love this or if you think this is a little too cocky, a little too much, a little too brash. Abdul Carter, who also came out of Indianapolis with some chatter that he's maybe a little bit difficult. He tweeted this yesterday in this. I'm going to turn this around and show it to you. Look at this font, this specialized font he was using in his tweet.
Okay.
He uses like three different fonts and underlines things and bolds things and is clearly trying to make a whole message out of this. He says, number one overall pick, 30 days away. Don't let all this quarterback need talk fool y'all. It's already known who's the best, and no quarterback is in that discussion. Like I said, the best player goes number one. Generational, remember. Then he holds up a little emoji, a little Sean-sized emoji with a number one
little
finger.
Small
there.
Finger. Okay.
Yep, little small finger there. Do you like that, or do you think that's...
If you've
got a little bit of a brash attitude, that you say that to teams, don't say it on Twitter.
No, I like it. I like it. I like my defensive players to be a little crazy.
Do you agree with the idea of it?
That is he the best player of the draft?
No, the idea of if he is a generational talent and the quarterbacks you just think are good, you're Mr. Quarterback over everything else. Would you take the good quarterback, the guy you think is going to be a good quarterback, over the guy who's a generational defensive end, or is that position valuable enough that you would...
If I have no quarterback, I have to take a quarterback. I have to reach.
If you're Tennessee...
See, I don't know. See, Tennessee is freaking me out because they've kind of hinted they we like Will.
I like Will Levis.
So I don't think Tennessee is actually in play for Cam Ward at all. Like, I think they're going to trade out of the pick or they're going to draft Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I could see.
Or Travis Hunter.
I would see them trading out of the pick, absolutely. I could see them doing that.
But, like, if you don't have the quarterback, if you're the Giants, if you're the Raiders, you know, actually the Raiders have one now. But you know what I mean? If you do have a quarterback, then you draft Abdul or you draft Travis Hunter. If you don't, then you've got to pass on him.
You mentioned the Raiders have a quarterback. They might be adding another one.
Oh, no.
Based on the interviews that one Quinn Ewers revealed at his Texas Pro Day on Tuesday. Here's who he's got visits lined up with, Chop. Stop me when you hear one that's interesting.
Okay.
He's going to take a 30 visit with the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to have a 30 visit with the Las Vegas Raiders. And for those of you that every year, kind of a refresher, 30 visits are just really particular visits where you can have players come to your facility and get tested medically, all those sort of things. But you're limited to 30 of those a year. And then he has a visit, a local visit, with the Dallas Cowboys. Now you're a Ewers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's better than you guys call
it. Oh, okay, here, I shouldn't say he's a Ewers fan. You have been a bigger buyer of some of the flashes at times. Because I know we've come back here on Mondays before after Texas has played, and you've been really impressed with some of the throws that he makes.
I mean, he's just a solid quarterback. I mean, I don't know that I would sit there and say that he's a first rounder. But I have no problem with Quinn. If Quinn succeeds in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
it's not gonna surprise me.
You've watched Shador play plenty, I'm sure too. Just in general, mm-hmm. when Colorado's played, when you've seen the two of them play, if I told you you could have Quinn in the fourth round or Shador at the top of the draft, would you rather say
the first overall
top five? I think
Shador's better.
Is he good enough to take in the top five over Quinn in the fourth, potentially? Where you could get a much better player potentially than Shador in a vacuum. And then say, well, is the gap enough this is with the, Quinn in the fourth?
This is the would you rather have had Goff at one or Zeke at four and Dak in the fourth?
Right. Yeah. Same sort of question.
Yeah, I would take that.
Because I don't think the gap is there as much.
You're getting, let's say you get Travis Hunter at three overall, and then you get Shador the fourth. I'm sorry, Quinn in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do that. Could be better.
I like
just
a lot
the philosophy.
I like a lot of what's on Quinn's tape. There's also some things that are terrifying about him. And there are times where he looks like a scared player.
My concern with him is the moment he gets a little bit banged up, he just throws the ball short. He never goes downfield.
That you remember that famous Darnold quote? I'm seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
there are times it feels like that's Quinn when he's out there.
Quinn could be one of those guys that takes like 6 years to figure it out in the league.
I mentioned this once previously. I know I talked to one evaluator who said they think Quinn's a second round player. I talked to another who said they wouldn't draft him. Like, that's the kind of variance that exists on Quinn Ewers right now in the NFL.
Yeah, it's just a play. It's a plan. Would you rather get the two players or the one? So
two players.
There you go. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Belt made his way out to the ballpark. Did he try the new food? And surprise, surprise, he's also awkward. It's next on The Fan.
The one strike pinch. Swing and a high drive. Well hit ball. Deep out into right center. And it is gone. Into the Ranger bullpen. A majestic shot for Jock Peterson. His team best fifth home run of the spring. That breaks the tie. And the Rangers lead it 6-3.
Oh, Hixey with a call in a game you heard right here. Rangers 6-3 victors over the Royals in an exhibition game that Bobby Belt made his way out for.
I did.
I did not know you were going to this guy. I knew your lady was going to the game. I knew Kristen was going.
Yeah, because I had gotten tickets from the office here. So every time we get the chance to put in for tickets, you know, Kim, our wonderful office manager here, she'll send out the email and she'll say, hey, I got tickets. If you guys want to enter for a drawing, we'll pull names at Friday at noon. And so even if I can't go, I always enter for them. Because then if I get them, I'm like, oh, Kristen, you can go. You can go hang out, take a friend, something like that.
Right.
And so I entered for it, and I won two pairs of tickets. I won tickets last night, and I won them for today as well, because they're going to play again today.
Something's telling me that you may have been the only one that applied for
those
tickets.
No, because there were multiple winners. I just was the only one who won both. And I won both. They were giving away regular tickets, and they were giving away tickets to the Odyssey Suite. So I won tickets both days to the Odyssey Suite.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So It's a pretty good setup, but I told Kristen, I was like, hey, go ahead, find somebody to go with both days. Like, I'm probably going to be napping during the day one on Tuesday. And then Monday, I'm, you know, it's going to be coming off. It's the beginning of the week. I'm going to be tired. I'm probably just going to be chilling out. So just find somebody to go with. I'll stay home with the kids. And so she had found a friend to go with. And then she was like, bad news, she's sick. So I got to ask like other people, but otherwise I don't know if there's anybody I can take tonight. So I was like, okay, I'm going to end up having to go to this thing. That's what's going to, not having to. It's nice. It's fun to go to the suite and everything else. But just in general, I was like, I was hoping to just relax tonight. I didn't want to have to leave the house at 4 to get there by 5 and then hang around till 8 and then get home by 9. You know what I mean? It's like, it takes up 5 hours that I wasn't expecting.
Why did you want to get to the game so early?
She likes to just walk around the stadium or go see stuff or beat track. Like, she just likes the whole experience.
Sarah's the same way. She like if we're going to go to the game, we're not going.
She doesn't want to get there at first pitch.
We're not getting there at the game. She wants to eat dinner first.
Like, yeah.
Either wants to go to Texas Live or we go to a Stars game, you know, go down to Victory area, you know, go down a couple of restaurants down there. So it's not just the game.
So, yeah, and that's generally the idea there. And I'm fine with it. It's just I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that I was going to have. Like, I'm going to need to have 5 hours carved out here. So now we're doing this. So I napped, like, all the way leading up to when we had to leave. But then we ended up going out there, and it was going to be out there at the ballpark. The roof was open. It was nice. And I got a little bit of pushback on this, but I know you saw it yesterday. I tweeted, and I said, roof open is always the right decision.
It's always the right decision.
And then there were some...
Until it's 5,000 degrees, then it's not.
That's the thing. There were some chumps in my mentions that were going, like, this man actually said always. Yeah, always. Like, it was for 20 years. Grow up, children. It was fine for 20 years. It's fine some more.
I supported the old place. I supported the old place. I don't like an indoor baseball stadium. I just think it's very sterile. It is more comfortable. There's no doubt about that. You don't have to worry about sweating. But yeah, I mean, all things equal, I'd much rather be in an open air.
We were, so when we got to the suite section, it's the same one that Odyssey's always had. And Kristen sat there before.
I don't think I've ever been to the Odyssey Suite.
Didn't you go to the Rangers game with us last year?
I don't think I was able to make that one.
Okay, well, it's like it's right down the first baseline, the like lower level, but it's the same spot it's always been.
Oh.
And Kristen walked in. Yeah, you know where it is. So Kristen walks in, and she's like, but is this the same one we were in last year? Like, yeah, same exact one. She's like, it feels closer. And I was like, I don't know why.
All right.
She's like, it just feels closer. It feels like we're more on top of it. And you know what I realized it was? It was the freaking roof being open. It just it changes the whole feel of the place.
Look, I think the roof open is, it's a great stadium.
It just changes.
It's a great stadium with the roof open.
The entire experience of watching a game is completely different when that thing's closed.
Yeah, I know the stadium gets killed by all the rankings of the stadiums. I think with the roof open, it's fantastic.
With the roof open, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's just when it's closed, it's like, you use the right word, sterile. Well, we go there last night, and I decided
to... There's a hum. There's a hum. Houston's the same way. There's just a hum to it.
Yeah. Yeah, same sort of thing. I did decide to run Kristen through a little bit of a challenge, though.
Boy, that's a show bet. You got to sit... Your punishment is you have to sit in the stadium completely empty with that hum the whole time for like 10 hours.
It's not like enhanced interrogation techniques that were banned.
Yes. It might drive you nuts.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to do that anymore. I did decide to run Kristen through a few different... trivia questions, though.
Okay.
And it's very visual, so I'll just kind of relay it. But she's a big fan of baseball. She is a fan of baseball the way a lot of people are, which is, I love going to the games and I love the experience and I get excited watching it. I don't know what the hell's going on, though. That's Kristen. She doesn't know what the hell exactly is going on, but she's just excited to be there and she's excited for the experience and she'll cheer her heart out watching the game. So I just decided to start pointing around at some things. We're in the third inning. It was like, they're playing the Kansas City Royals. I was like, who are they playing right now? She's like, the England Royals. It's like, nope.
No, she didn't.
Missed that.
No,
did not get that. I pointed, I said, what's that yellow post over there in the corner? And I didn't want to say foul pole, but she said, it's the outfield thing. Didn't know it was called a foul pole.
Okay.
No idea. I pointed right in front of her. I said, what's that little dirt in front of the wall right there? What do you think that is? And she went, that has a name? I was like, yeah, it has a name.
Yeah.
It does. It's the warning track. It's the warning track. I had pointed to the first base coach. I was like, right down there, that coach by first base. What's his job title? She was like, go to second.
I was like, that's his job title, to go to second.
She said his job title is go to second. It's like, nope, not exactly. But the best part, and I didn't realize this, you don't think about this from the perspective of, we've all watched baseball all our lives.
Yes, we
have.
And
we all have an understanding of it. When you've never really followed it before, you don't think of how confusing a baseball box score probably looks to somebody.
Let's see. Runs, hits, errors, left on base, LOB. LOB, I think, would screw a lot of people up.
The nine inning, but just in general, nine innings, the two different rows, the nine columns, then you got the runs, hits, errors. You've got the ball strike count over here. A lot of times it's just illuminated by lights. It doesn't even have anything on it. So I knew just looking at that, she's not going to have any clue.
If you plop down, somebody who's like not from the U.S., not even from like a baseball country, like, you know, what was that? Who was that DJ? The pillows? Who was that DJ? Was that?
I don't remember.
The pillows and then the stick man.
It was hilarious.
Stick man. I could totally see how it would screw you up.
Well, and so I asked her, I was just like, the last thing I asked her was, it was the third inning. It was 1-0 Texas. I was like, what's the score right now? She's like, I don't know. I was like, right up there. There's the scoreboard. Just look. Tell me what the score is. And she saw the balls and strikes full count. She went 3-2.
3-2. There you go. There you go.
But it's a great example of the game of baseball also being accessible, even when people don't totally understand.
Yeah.
That's why I think it is America's pastime, is because it is so accessible even when you don't understand all the little nuances and terminology.
Did you try any of the new food out there? Because we saw the new food. Sandler posted a video. I retweeted it. At RJ Choppy on the Twitter X thingies.
I did not.
Did you try? You didn't?
I did not. But look, here's the thing.
You know what happened here, Preyton?
I was in that suite.
He was in the suite.
With Zach and Cody, so baby.
You had burgers, hot dogs, wings.
Yeah.
Were an option.
It was fantastic. You had some tendies.
Some seltzers. There's some seltzers in there, too. So
some it was za.
Some za. Well, there was no za.
No.
Or su, depending on if you think pizza should be pronounced how it sounds or how it looks. But no, it was a great experience. I was honestly saving it because I anticipate you're going to go to the staff baseball game here in a couple weeks, and I wanted to save it for all of us to be able to review on the air.
Well.
And also, that's not true. I just didn't think to try any of it until you called me, and then I had to come up with that excuse, but that's what it was. But it was a great time there at the ballpark, and the Rangers play out there again today.
Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I said Bobby, surprise, surprise, he's awkward.
Yes.
But you know what? I do the same thing.
What we're about to talk about?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is... Peyton, you're going to be a good person to tell us if you think this is weird, too. Mm-hmm. So, the other night, we were out somewhere, and I had to take an elevator up to a floor. And while I was walking, I love music. I have a very eclectic musical taste, Chop. Mm. And I heard a song that I was like, man, that's catchy. Like, I really like this. I can't hear any of the lyrics, though. So, I can't just... If I hear the lyrics, I will seize a line in my mind or whatever and just Google that lyric as soon as I get a chance. But I'll just like repeat it in my head over and over again. I couldn't hear what the lyrics were saying at all, but it sounded catchy. So what do? I end up pressing the elevator as I hear this music. So it opens up and I'm like holding up Shazam trying to take it. And then somebody walks up and the elevator's open, and I feel like a weirdo for holding it up and holding up my phone and just not getting on the elevator like I'm supposed to. So I quickly kind of just like make it look like I was like, oh, just stretching my arm out or something. And I just try to casually walk into the elevator as it then starts closing. So I run into the elevator door and it started like open closing and freaking out for a second. So I thought I broke the elevator. And then we got on it. And now I've opened myself up to a discussion with that guy. As soon as the doors closed, he went, so what were you doing? I was Shazamming a song. I wanted to know what that song was.
Look, there's an easy out here because I do this all the time, but a lot of times I do it just because it's easier. I'll do it when I know the song, but it's easier just to do that. That's that way, like, I know to go back and put it in my playlist because it gets saved.
How?
Well, it gets saved in your Shazam.
But oh yeah, the shit.
And then I go back to my clips. And they'll add that.
Yeah, that's all I need to do there. But I've got to be able to hold it up there long enough. And sometimes Shazam will be really quick. Sometimes, then other times it's sitting there going like searching. Could you search it again? It's like, no, I don't have time for that. I don't. That's embarrassing socially. You need to just figure it out the first time, Shazam.
Yeah, I don't. I just do it in the middle of like a.
You don't feel uncomfortable at all, like kind of just in the middle of nowhere, holding your phone up to a speaker. Every time I've done it on the road, Sean inevitably sees it and starts saying something.
Why
are you holding your phone up? What are you doing?
Yeah, I just don't care. You know, if somebody thinks like I'm weird.
Do you care?
What was the song?
Yeah, what was the song?
I didn't catch it. Oh, and so it's lost forever. I will never know that song. I
think, Would you have gone to the extent of like asking someone, an employee, hey, what's the song playing? Like, because they have a playlist. Someone's got a Spotify somewhere.
I don't know that they do. A lot of times it could just be a programmed station.
A program thing, but they could probably find it.
Yeah, they might be able to. I need to start saving. Whenever I have these moments where it's like, I was willing to risk social embarrassment to find this song, I'm going to start stacking up the songs and I'll play them for you guys. And you guys are going to tell me, like, was that worth potentially embarrassing myself? Or did you just embarrass yourself for a really lame song?
What is my most recent Shazammed song? I think what's far more awkward or strange is that, Sarah was like, what's the name of this song? And I couldn't think of it. It was a Big and Rich song. She goes, I've never heard of this band. I go, yes, you have. And I was like, I'll show you. And it was a Big and Rich song. She doesn't use Shazam. She uses SoundHound. I think that's far more weird.
Okay, I used SoundHound for a long time.
That's weird. Nobody's ever heard of that.
I used to have both because there were some things that... It's like Amazon Music versus Spotify.
Yeah.
Where there's some things that Shazam gets most of it. There's random songs that Shazam can't find that SoundHound does for some reason.
Okay.
So I keep it as a backup. It's not bad to have backup.
Okay.
I think it's reasonable to have.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that as a backup. I can dig with that. 6 a.m. Club here on 105.3 The Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Texas has made it official. They are back. College Kegger kicks off the 7 o'clock hour next.